Welcome to the ZBA meeting, October 28th, 2025. The time is 6:30 p.m.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Today is October 28th. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Candia Zoning Board of Adjustment. Megan, let the record show that all members are present except Boyd Chivers, who is excused, and that Gail Pellegrino will be sitting in for Boyd today. Okay, Megan, will you read the first case for us, please?
Case number 25-011. Applicant slash owner James Logan, 438 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location 466 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 405, Lot 29. Intent: seeking a special exception as provided in Article 5, Section 5.02 to allow short-term rentals at 466 High Street.
Okay, Mr. Logan, if you're here, you're welcome to, we'll pull a chair up for the table if you'd like, and you can sit and we'll hear your case. And for the people who've not been here before, just a quick explanation of how this board works. We do two things. We do hearings and we do meetings. This is a hearing, which means the public is allowed input. We'll allow the applicant to present his case. The board will ask questions, and the audience here is allowed to ask questions. If we have anyone on Zoom that wants to ask questions or have comments, we'll allow that. And then after that, we will close the hearing, and we will have a meeting, and we will discuss Mr. Logan's case or Mr. Brady's case, and we will make a decision tonight. During the meeting, there is no public input because it is a meeting. So if you have anything to say, please say it during the hearing part of our time tonight. And with that, we'll proceed. Mr. Logan, would you like to, I know we've all read your information, but would you like to present your case to the board, please?
Right. Well, I don't have any new, thoughts besides what I had written down here. Would you like me to summarize that?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the house that we're renting out on a short-term basis, that is proposed or planned to be the community center for the 55-plus development that we're working on. And you folks know about that because we came before the board earlier. We don't know, when we'll get through with all the hearings and when construction will be far enough along that we can actually use the house for that purpose. So, So doing some sort of long-term lease doesn't really make any sense because we don't know when we're going to switch over to the new use. We didn't want to leave the house empty. We had an empty house next door last summer, and we ended up with a couple of squatters in there that ended up dealing fentanyl and doing a lot of damage and stealing from a neighbor. And, I worked with the police chief for a number of months, and we couldn't get him out, and eventually I got him out, so we were a bit leery about having another, attractive house kind of sitting there empty. So we thought a short-term lease would make a lot of sense. I had no idea that Candia had any kind of ordinance about short-term leases. That never occurred to us. All the other towns around, we've seen Airbnbs, just about every town around. So we went ahead and set that up, and we ran it for a few months, and, all of a sudden, get a letter from the town saying that it was a problem. So, meanwhile, dozens of people had booked vacations, with kids and relatives and all kinds of things. It's actually been, pretty useful for us in the sense that we are seeing how people use the property and what they appreciate and what they don't like, and it's helping us think about how the community center could use it, with a few more tweaks and so forth. So it's been a kind of useful dry run, even though it's not exactly the same market. There's still people that are enjoying something. And the property is way back from the road, probably 700 feet, I think. And it's got a whole, slew of trees that block most of the sound because you really don't hear the traffic from the house. and it dips down, you know, the sound's got to go down and come up again and kind of loses momentum, so there's not too much sound exchange. And we don't have many neighbors on the western side, because I own that property there, and on the eastern side, there's one neighbor, Peter Bauman, and, you know, he hasn't said boo, and I've talked to him every so often. He spends a summer up in Maine, typically. And there's a couple people across the road, but again, they're pretty far out. And it doesn't seem like it's impacting anybody, and it's not any kind of, you know, long-term thing. So, you know, we don't see how it would impact property values at all. So I guess those are the major major points.
Can we ask questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us when you expect to end the short-term rental, probably when you're ready to do construction? Or?
Yeah, right. Now, not to confuse matters, but one of the thoughts that we have with the community center is we'd actually like to continue to rent the rooms upstairs to people that are visiting, people that live in the 55 plus community. So we think that would be like a really big benefit to those folks. To have the grandkids, you know, they only have so many rooms, and they can pile into the remains of the Airbnb. So that's our kind of longer-term thinking in terms of how we would use the upstairs. Otherwise, the upstairs is just going to go to waste. But we think that's a really good use of it. That's kind of a separate issue.
It is pertinent. I was getting at whether you'd be willing to ask for a time-bound limitation on short-term rental, you know, something that would end when you no longer needed it or when construction began. But it sounds like you're really asking for a permanent variance that way.
Well, I'm not sure how this works legally, but I mean, maybe the community center is going to come, that legal entity might come to you and say, is it okay if we rent these rooms out to this defined audience? You know, that would not be open to the public.
So
that would just be for guests.
So tonight you're asking for a special exception, but you'd be willing to do that for a period of time? Would that be?
Yes, right. So, what we're looking for is just to be able to continue doing what we're doing, keeping the house occupied and kind of everything working until we turn it into the community center. And
what would you guess would be a reasonable time frame?
Well, how quickly can you approve it? No, I'm just kidding.
Assuming we make a decision tonight.
Well, the only thing is, there's really no, the short-term rentals are allowed by our ordinance. So there's really no time limit on short-term rentals. There's a time limit of stay. I think it's like 189 days or something. You can't have someone stay more than that.
And we have approved these.
Oh, yes. Yeah. This is, so there's really, we
so it's just that there's no exception.
So this is really a formality. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, there's really no restriction on the amount of time.
Do we need to hear from anybody?
This wasn't brought before the board at the April 22nd meeting, was it?
No.
This continuation of the rentals.
No. He didn't
rentals.
Know that the issue
was a 55-plus community,
yeah.
And now you want to add rentals, right? But it wasn't brought before the board at that time, is that correct?
Yeah, I don't think we were maybe not even thinking about it at that point. We kind of decided
spur of the moment. On your application, you checked no. Has this property ever been before the board before? And you checked no.
Well, I think Tony, the confusion might be that it was all of the properties came before the board before, so the confusion might be this is one of all of the properties, so maybe that was Mr. Logan's confusion, that it's not separately been before the board, but it was part of the whole plan, his whole plan when he came in for that development up in the hill.
I don't buy it.
Well, okay.
Okay, no.
I know.
Who cares?
So question. Normally a 55-plus community has regulations that, you can't have people staying that aren't over 55 for a certain period of time. So how are you justifying that this particular property is allowed differentiation from the 55-plus?
Well, it's not part of 55-plus community yet because we haven't gotten that approved and incorporated or whatever. So I don't know exactly what the legal standing is, but it's still, I'm not even sure.
It's a separate piece of property. Hasn't been incorporated. He bought several properties. Like Charlie Bowman's property was a separate property. Then this is there's a house between them. Then this property. And then there's a fourth property that has the majority of the land.
Technically speaking, I think that we did a lot line adjustment and we merged the old Seward house and this house and the back of the Bauman house. So we split off the Bauman house. It's a separate 3-acre lot. And so now I think on the town records, it's all one big lot of 170 acres or whatever, for what that's worth. But, you know, but it's not a 55-plus community yet. I mean, I don't know exactly when it becomes that, you know, legally.
Have you gotten approval for one?
Yeah.
No.
Well, no. No, we haven't. I mean, you know, we've been before this board,
right,
you know, briefly, and we got approval, you know, assuming everything else went forward, that we could do certain things. That was okay with the zoning board. Now we have to go back to the planning board. We have to go back to you guys one more time, and then, you know, all the approvals should be in, you know, if everything goes well, by the end of the year type of time frame. But then we have state approvals. And again, I don't know when that legal switch gets, you know, hit, and then it becomes.
And all of these things would be incorporated into their documents, so that anything that happens with that house, which is supposed to be the clubhouse, will be part of their whole community document, so that everyone will have to agree when they buy into that they agree with whatever those documents. And the documents are written up, given to the planning board, then I think they go to the Secretary of State's office.
This is really a short-term, very short-term situation in most cases. I mean, it could be longer because
there are people that have houses that they rent out all the time. For they buy a house and they just rent it short-term rentals. And you can rent short-term rentals as long as nobody stays more than 188 days.
But if you're talking an Airbnb, you're really talking about somebody coming to visit for the weekend, for instance.
Or a week or whatever.
And the 55 limit wouldn't affect it. It's not, they're not living there.
Community guidelines in accordance
with it. It's not a residence for anybody, so.
Okay.
So, Mr. Logan, did you want to add anything else to what has transpired? Is there anything else you want to say, or we can take questions?
Yeah, well, I mean, just to answer your question. So, you know, my best guess might be by next summer, you know, we have to kind of like turn it over and sort of present it as the clubhouse. We can't go have people who are looking to buy go traipsing through the Airbnb when it's occupied. So at some point, we got to clear it out and kind of, you know, open it up for
sales.
I mean, so if everything goes well, you know, that would be about the time frame, I would think.
So basically, it would be after you had physical structures in place.
We're getting close, you know.
Or you're getting close.
The advice is on pre-sales and all that, you know.
Are you Diamond Cove Holdings?
No, my son is the managing member of that LLC.
And you've owned this property for approximately just a few days over a year, is that correct? Because you closed in October of 24?
I lost track.
And your first review on Airbnb was in May, and this meeting I referred to earlier was on April 22nd, and you were renting at that time?
No, I don't think we started renting
until your first review.
Yeah, our first rental was in May.
May, yeah.
So we put it on Airbnb and it rented right away.
Quick, yeah. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure what I have here is accurate.
Right.
Is there anybody in the audience who has any questions or concerns? Do we have anybody on Zoom, Megan?
Yeah, there's a couple of people. Welcome to Zoom. Enter your meeting ID followed by the pound.
So is there anyone online that has a question or comment?
No. Okay. Is anybody on the board that needs more information?
No.
Okay, because we'll need to go through the standards, the two sections here, the standards, and then so we'll... close the, then we'll close the hearing and we'll open up our meeting and discuss the special exception standards and section 1502 says this. The first one is that there is no hazard to the public or adjacent property on account of potential fire, explosion, or release of toxic materials. The second one is that there is no detriment to property value in the vicinity or change in the neighborhood on account of the location or scale of the buildings and other structures, parking areas, access ways, odor, smoke, gas, dust, or other pollutants, noise, glare, heat, vibration, or unsightly outdoor storage of equipment, vehicles, or other materials. No creation of a traffic safety hazard or a substantial increase in the level of traffic congestion in the vicinity. I think there'd probably be some traffic increase, but nothing that could be considered to be substantial. No excess demand on municipal surfaces, including but not limited to water, sewer, waste disposal, police, fire protection, and schools, and no significant increase of stormwater runoff onto adjacent properties and streets. Does anybody have any question about any one of those or disagree with them? And then the conditions that front, side, and rear yard and front, side, and subject to the conditions, including that the front, side, and rear yard in excess of the minimum standards of the ordinance, and we know that it does. The second one is screening of the premises from the street or adjacent property by walls, fences, other devices. It's back from the road. The modification of exterior features of the building, there's none of that. Limitations on the size of buildings or other structures more stringent than minimum or maximum requirements. This is an existing house.
Yep.
Limitations on the number of occupants, methods, and times of operation. I think Airbnb has limitations on the number of...
What's the limitation? Is it so many people
The thing is, we could add limitations if we
wanted. I'm just wondering, could you put 10 people in that place at one time, or is it limited?
Well, I'm not sure how Airbnb works, it has to be with beds and the amount of bedroom space that you have. Is that correct?
Yeah, and what people feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
So is this something that the building inspector is going to say the limit or, you know, occupancy limit for this building is?
If they got 4 bedrooms and they got, you know, possibly 8 people.
8 people?
But then with the new laws, you can't restrict the amount of people per bedroom.
And also people, that sometimes they have pull-out sofas and things for...
I'm not looking to create a problem. I'm just saying,
well, the thing is...
Is there any limitations?
I don't think that we could put any limitations on this, on the number of people. You're not going to limit the number of occupants, the methods, and times of operation because it's an Airbnb, so that's not appropriate either.
Does the fire department have...
I'm just curious.
Here,
yeah.
Really.
That's a question I don't know. That's a question I don't know if the fire department...
Do you get an occupancy permit for an Airbnb?
It would be the original occupancy to use the house.
Yeah, you wouldn't need a new one.
Yeah, the house is already livable, so it's not like they have to go in and...
So when you registered for Airbnb, how did you specify what the occupancy was?
I think it's either 10 or 12 people.
Okay. I mean, that seems reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you can't really, you know, pack more people in than would make sense. You know, then we just get bad reviews and then, you know,
no,
it's
going to go.
It's a business. So you got to do rational stuff.
Okay.
The next one is grading of the premises for proper drainage. That's not applicable because it already exists. Regulation of the design of exit drives, sidewalks, and traffic features. That, again, it exists. Off-street parking and unloading spaces. in excess of minimum requirements of the ordinance. How are you going to handle the parking and unloading spaces?
There's plenty of parking space there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the regulation, the number, size, lighting and signs, and none of that is applicable. So, if there is no question about any of the standards, I'll.
I have a question.
Sure.
Is noise addressed in there? Noise.
Yes, there is a thing okay. about noise.
And your property, you abut on the west side of this building. Your property.
Why a property on both sides?
I mean, your house, literally where you live.
No. That's like one house down?
Uh-huh.
Or, I mean, the house between my house.
I notice you have a lot of things booked going forward.
Yeah.
Like snow and these. Do you think noise would be an issue? I know you're far enough back from the road, but... You got plenty of room for.
I mean, I don't think noise is an issue whatsoever because everyone hangs out in the backyard.
Yeah.
There's a nice pool back there and gardens and stuff. And in the front, it's just a bunch of woods and a boring leach field. Mm-hmm. So everyone's behind the house blocks, whatever noise is going on back there. And, I really don't see anybody being bothered. I mean, you got a virtual highway in front.
Yep.
I mean, you got more noise from trucks and stuff going up. Route 27. Dump trucks.
Really? No kidding.
Oh, yeah. All they right. make a huge noise. Motorcycles, everything. So there's all kinds
especially
of traffic.
Especially on the hill.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone's used to noise. Who lives? I mean, I live there myself now, and, you know,
condos.
There's all kinds of noise.
Yeah,
so, I mean, we're the least of anybody's noise problem.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So, anybody on the board have other questions or... comments?
Nope.
So, in that case, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to vote.
Okay.
Second the motion.
So, you have to make the motion for what we're doing. What are we going
to
do?
To vote to approve the special exception.
Okay. To have an Airbnb on the property.
Short-term rental on that property.
Okay. And Tony, you seconded it?
I did.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Gail?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, all members of the board are in favor. It'll take her a day or two to get the paperwork together, and then you can give Megan a call, and she'll let you know when the paperwork is completed.
Okay. Thank you. Again, I apologize for not knowing the rules at the time.
Okay.
Coming in late.
That's okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Logan.
Okay.
Okay. So. We have Mr. Brady's case now. Would you, Megan, read the notice for the next case?
Can I interrupt? Did Mr. Walden leave? Is that his?
Yeah, I think he did leave. I can
run it
out. I hear noise up there.
I don't know if I can go out there, to be honest. I don't want to sound
like
the
alarm.
Noise.
It's full of money.
What do you do? Do you want me to read it off?
This will wait till Megan comes back. That's okay.
Okay.
Good
job, Megan.
Case number 25-012. Applicant/owner, Ranch Roller Coaster, LLC, 670 North Commercial Street, Manchester, New Hampshire, 03101. Property location, Chester Turnpike, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 410, Lot 1. Intent. seeking a variance to waive terms as stated in Article 2, Section 2.02E1 to allow the construction of a single-family home on an existing non-conforming lot with 50.96 feet of frontage.
Okay, and Mr. Cronin,
yes,
would you, you're welcome to pull up a chair, and you have to state your name and spell your last name.
Oh, yeah, I've done that a few times. I'm happy to do it again.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is John Cronin. I'm an attorney in Manchester with Cronin, Bisson, and Zielinski, and representing Mitchell's Brady. Shane and Derek here this evening with us tonight are available to answer any questions that may come up. But many of the faces here look familiar, and I think most of you, not all of you, were here last month when we first came in. We started that presentation and went through the five criteria that are addressed in our application, and we drifted off into issues regarding the building, the size of it, the look of it, the ratio of storage to housing, and so forth. Mr. Lavoie was kind enough to reach out to me, or we connected after the meeting to address his concerns with the building. And one of those was a cupola, and the second one was intent. And I think we've resolved those issues by removing the cupola to bring the height into conformance. And secondly, there's no issue with the commitment to make it a residential use and not do commercial of any kind there. As many of you know, Mr. Brady has a lot of property, a lot of commercial property. It doesn't really need any more of it, and is looking for this to be a private facility. Since the last meeting, I went back and did some research and noted that the planning board approved this lot as part of a subdivision, and they did it with the 50-plus feet, it appears, from the scarcity of records that are available, because it would allow for the creation of a Class 5 highway to be built at the opening and to provide a road network in the interior of the property to accommodate frontage for whatever houses would meet the 3-acre density, less your wetlands and slopes and so forth. That is not the intent here. Your ordinance is a bit unique in that it deviates from the constitutional requirements of non-conforming uses, and somewhere, somehow, 60 feet of frontage was selected for a non-conforming use. Why 60 and not 50? And why not whatever it was when the planning board chose to approve it as a subdivision is a mystery to me, but I don't think either of those issues are relevant for the discussion today. Our view, and my view, as I stated before, I think the building inspector is responsible for issuing permits on houses when they come in, or buildings, and you have to make it conform to codes and various things that apply. What may have been appropriate, you know, 50 years ago or 30 years ago, certainly times have changed. If you told me 40 years ago when I started that you'd have millions of square feet of storage unit that people would pay $300 and $400 a month for, even in New Hampshire, I'd say you're kidding. But that's kind of the way that it is, not only here, but across the country.
I used to call those barns.
You know, that just seems the way that it is. So this facility, as you said, it has an ample storage area. It has a living quarters for Shane's son to live in. And they have things, you know, like a lot of people have things. Have some cars, have some snowmobiles, have some ATVs, hunting equipment. Maybe put a golf simulator in, do those sorts of things that we talked about before. Those issues to me for this are really not the focus. The focus is we have a large lot, 90-plus acres, millions of square feet, that's 9 feet short at the frontage, we'll say, but only for a shallow depth. The lot's narrow at the front, and then it widens up. There's a triangle in the package. It's about, you know, without getting it surveyed and certified, it looks about 450 feet. Even if it were 9 or 1,000 square feet, comparison to the 3 million square feet that are there is nominal. So when you look at it in the spirit intent of the ordinance to allow it, certainly it's a spirit intent of the ordinance, which all zoning powers derive from the state, is to make all land productive and useful. It doesn't do anyone any good to have a 90-acre piece of property that's not useful in any way, shape, or form. As far as the Farrar versus Keene test, when you look at it, will it change the nature of the neighborhood in a substantial and marked way if this variance is approved? Not relative to the house, but to the 9 feet. It won't. The land is there. It's always been there. There's been a drive there or an access to get in from the main street. That's not going to change in any way. The house is going to be positioned well back on the lot. It likely won't be visible from anyone unless you're flying a drone around or flying above it, but shouldn't be visible from the street at all. Traffic concerns, if it were commercial, say maybe, you know, you might get an Amazon delivery like everybody else or UPS. But for the most part, vehicles that are stored there are not going to be daily drivers. Something will be sat in there and stored in there, maybe taken out on a nice day. But it won't be all that different than, you know, if you had someone that had a 90-acre parcel and maybe had a homestead and three or four barns and hay barn, hay deliveries, livestock deliveries and that sort of thing, should be substantially less than that. Where it's zoned residential and we're proposing residential, we believe we meet that prong. And when you look at the balancing test, the impact to the property owner versus the impact to the public, if you deny this variance, basically you're saying that 92 acres are not useful because there's really nothing other than residential that would be allowed. If we were put in a hotel and you said, no, you can't do that, you know, you could maybe put a house or several houses in there. So you look at that, the impact to the public, I think in this application is probably the best you could hope for. If this were denied, certainly the Bradys have the means to build a road in there and subdivide it and build a bunch of houses. That's not what they want to do. Want to put one building there and maintain the land. So when you look at that balancing piece of it, I think that weighs heavily in favor of the town. As far as the value prong, putting that house on 92 acres is not going to impact anybody in terms of value, having a letter in the record to that effect. And then the question about the fair and substantial relationship of the ordinance to the property here, you're looking at, you know, a piece of land that's a lot of record. It's not something we're asking to subdivide new. It exists. It's there. It has a tax number. As far as 50 feet versus 60 feet or 51, is there really a health, safety, and welfare difference between those 9 feet? I would submit not. Is the use reasonable? We believe that it is. And then the alternative prong to the hardship standard in variance is if the property can't be used in any way, shape, or form without the variance, you would also meet that prong. And clearly, if you can't use this lot with the 51 feet of frontage that exists, you can't use it in any way consistent with the ordinance. So we believe we meet that criteria. Again, we thank Mr. Lavoie for his courtesy to reach out and work with us to try and get the building in conformity. And we'll continue to do that. You know, as these things progress and you file a full application, there may be other questions or concerns, and we're happy to visit that.
Could you share with me, sir, where you found that information? I think you said the planning board about the 50 feet.
Yeah, I think
was that in a meeting?
The subdivision.
Subdivision. It appears to be in the 80s. There's a subdivision plan that was approved.
Wow. That's going back.
Thank you.
No one here was, I dare say, on the
board. No, your staff assistant was awesome, which I apologize for them running around that you did to help us find the historical work. And, you know, like everybody trying to find records in your old house or your building, you can't find everything that you need or you hope for, but there were pieces there that could show how this was created.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, anybody else have any questions? Anybody on the board have questions?
I thank you for this information. It's very helpful and answers a lot of the questions that were raised last time, so thank you for that.
So basically the footprint of the barn is the same as it was initially.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So basically what you're asking for is a private driveway to serve a single-family house, not a public road.
That's right. And we're not asking you for the job. That would be the kind of the building inspector and getting the curb cuts the way you normally do.
Yes.
We're asking you to allow the house to be built with 51 feet of frontage as opposed to 60.
Yeah.
And this, right. Well, the 60 feet is needed. It's needed because that was what you would need to... That's what the planning board requires for a road to be built, a public road. But you're not asking for a public road. You are asking for a private driveway.
Yes. And
to be used by the resident in of that single-family home that you're building.
That's correct.
Okay. And just something that you've said a couple times that really bothers me. You talk about the... You have 405 square feet versus 3 million. That has nothing to do with this. This is about the lineal feet. You're short 9 feet. It's not square footage. It's 9 feet, and it actually goes on a triangle. So that It's a red herring. I mean, it has no bearing on it. It's the 9 feet that you're missing, not the square footage.
It's yes. never my intent to anger anyone on a
no,
board
you're not
that's
angry
going
me.
To vote on a project.
No. But I mean, I've heard that several times, and I'm thinking this has no bearing on what on the issue at hand here. The issue at hand is 9 feet, not square feet, just nine lineal feet.
I think your point was a good one. We're talking about the driveway here. That's what we're talking about.
We're talking about a driveway. We're not talking about a road.
Yeah.
There's no intention of making this a public road. Is that correct?
No, there's not.
Okay.
That's great. Good to know.
Okay. Is there anybody else on the board that has questions?
Not at this time.
No, that really was my major concern, was that this private driveway become a public road at some point with a development inside this 90 acres. And if we're saying that...
All we're giving them permission to do is put in a driveway. Which is a private...
And that's...
It's not even a road. It's just a private way to get into a piece of property. And he has 50.9 feet. If he had 60 feet, he wouldn't be here. He would be at the planning board asking for them to put
they
it
in. They have a statement of intent here anyhow and signed and sealed.
Right. Yes.
As far as non-commercial.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we've heard that by the comments here today as well. So.
Okay. Let me just see. I have a couple more questions here. So if there is anybody else on the board have questions? Okay, we'll open it up to questions from the audience. If you wish to speak, if you would raise your hand, we'll call on you. Please state your name, your address, and spell your last name, please.
Hi, Gary Archambault, Archambault, 191 Chester Turnpike. The attorney just alluded to the fact that if they didn't get a variance here, that they have access to the property some other way to put a housing development in. Is that what I just heard?
No.
What did you say about if you didn't get the variance, there was something about putting up 3-acre houses, etc.?
There's a 51-foot access way there.
I understand.
Which could accommodate a road.
No, it can't, because it's 60 feet in the town of Candia. It's not 51.
Yeah, I recognize that. But if you look at some of the cases that talk about putting roads in, if you have 24 feet of pavement and 13 feet of shoulders, the DOT determines that to be an adequate road.
Okay.
We're not doing it. I don't really want
to. I understand that. Do you have access to the property from another area that at some point in time could be opened up and turned into a housing development out there where you subdivide and get the 3-acre piece of property for this area and the rest of it gets turned into housing development?
No.
You don't have access to the back end of that property from any other way?
Nope.
How about from the Chester Turnpike side?
It's not relevant, really. I mean,
well, it's relevant to me because I live there.
Yeah, I honestly don't. So I own other pieces out there. None of them tie back into this piece.
Okay.
I'm not looking to do a subdivision. I've lived in Candia for 30 years. I own 5 other houses in Candia. I don't own any other commercial development. I've never developed anything else in Candia. I have no intention. You know, I get people can be nervous. I'll be honest with you. Nobody wants to keep Candia more like Candia than I do. And so, you know, as I bought these pieces of land, it was more to preserve them for my kids and grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I plan on doing. Someday, will they develop this thing? Hopefully not. Hopefully they use it the same way I've been using it, but it's up to them.
Okay.
But I'm building a house there.
Thank
and
you.
I'm building it for my son. And, you know, I get why people are nervous, but I was honest with my neighbors. I told them that's what I was doing. And, you know, it all of a sudden kind of snowballed. That's really, I'm not building a subdivision out there. Okay. I have no plans to build a subdivision
Thank you.
Out there.
Appreciate that.
Is there anybody else in the audience who has a question or comment? Sir, would you please state your name and...
Kevin Landry, 163 Chester Turnpike.
And spell your last name, please, Mr.
L-A-N-D-R-Y.
Okay.
And probably a lot of people on Chester Turnpike are leaning to me to speak to you, and I'm here for two parts. First part, when it comes to a variance, Mr. Brady knew what he was buying when he purchased it. He knew that the road was only 51 feet, so there was no hardship there of that part of the variance. I'm a strong believer. Okay, dealing with the town of Candier, talking to Mr. Brady today, there's a right way and a wrong way of doing things. We had a very candid conversation yesterday, and I told him things were done wrong. We had a face-to-face meeting today. We walked the entire road, and we have a handshake that things are going to be fixed appropriately. Whether it's a driveway or whatnot, putting a driveway in there affects me tremendously, affects my neighbor tremendously, and a driveway will also affect water runoff. There's a lot involved. So just to go and blow in a road or blow in a driveway on an old logging road, mm-hmm. there's a big difference. Hardship is faced upon the, both the neighbors on the right and the left side. I will say we had a handshake. We walked it. I have 40, 50 years of experience with site work, drainage, water. And we ended a meeting today. And I had his word that he was going to fix it, make it right. That's what I want to see done. Because right now, we're kind of, there's wetlands affected, there's water runoff affected. My property's tremendously affected. And I don't want the town to give the right to allow it to be continued to be affected in an appropriate manner of...
But to be clear, you're saying if it's done properly with good drainage, good construction techniques, You're supportive. You're okay with that. I wouldn't say supportive. You're okay with that.
We're supportive when things are done right, correct.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Another person's property cannot impact someone else's.
Correct.
With water.
Unfortunately, I think the site contractor that went in there just kind of went haywire a little too fast. There was no plans. Was in front of the planning board. I understand it's a driveway, so there's different rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still the right way and the wrong way. And I told Mr. Brady... quite candid. Could be a good neighbor, or we could be bad neighbors. We can get along or not get along. And I'm certainly not one to be afraid to tell anybody how I feel about them, or if something's right or wrong. It's only fair to do. So, hardship, hindsight, he knew what he was buying. Going forward, I think there's the right way to do it.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, please stand and state your name, please, and spell your last name.
Carol Westland Kimball. Westlund hyphen Kimball, K-I-M-B-A-L-L. And I am a direct abutter to the property and the logging road. I'm on the other side of Kevin, who just spoke. Again, I am echoing his concerns about the water flow and the impact to the wetlands back there. It would affect my house as well. There's a stream that runs behind it, and we've always had a flow of water that went across a low spot on the logging road and over to the other side to Kevin's home. That would be a major concern. I do not want to have a backup of water on my property. That being said, I'm glad that's being addressed. My other concern would be if this variance is granted, and designated as a driveway for a private home. In the future, I know the fear of the development is always looming, should there be another situation of a larger parcel of land connecting to that land behind me? The question is, if the driveway that's being considered today, could that ever become an auxiliary road to something larger if situations change? Or will it always be a driveway and fall within that description. I guess I'm looking for protection for me. Once it's a driveway, can it be altered in any way for other purposes?
The only thing that we can address today is the fact that they are asking for a private driveway, which is a driveway is defined as it's a private way that's owned by the resident of the house. So that's the only thing we can consider. If we could look into a crystal ball and see what was happening in the future, but none of that is relevant. And I understand your concerns, and they're very real concerns, but that could not happen without them coming before the board again, because they don't have the 60 feet that are required to build a road.
Okay.
So, but the only thing that we can discuss today is just the fact that they want to put in a private driveway that accesses a single family house.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else have any questions?
Go right ahead. No, I already spoke. You go right ahead.
Okay. Kathy Fisek, F-I-C-E-K. My concerns are similar to others because I do have some concerns about the water with the drought, the way that it's changing the landscape in just my own backyard where there's dips. And there used to be springs, there used to be tree toads and things, and we don't have that now. So we're getting less water. And I don't see really a change coming anytime soon. You know, so I'm just concerned about the water. I'm concerned about, like, you know, this driveway. Like, how long does a driveway have to be a driveway before it becomes a road?
The thing that makes it a road is that it's public. A driveway can be 10 feet, it can be 100 feet, it can be 500 feet. It's whatever a person has a section of land, they can put their house here, or they can put their house there. He has 90 acres, he can put his single family house any place there, and the driveway is a private way that is owned by the resident of it, and is for the use of the resident of that house. Mm-hmm. A road is owned by the town, and it is a public way. This is not a public way. This is private property. So right at the Chester Turnpike, mm-hmm. that starts his private, wherever his private property starts, he owns that way into his house.
Also, I think about the four corners where Chester Turnpike and
Old Candy Road.
So everything where we live is kind of like in a bowl on a hill, and that stream behind my house, between my house and the tower on Tower Hill, that's just barely moving. And if you kind of contract all the streams that go to Massabesic Lake, they're not making it to the lake. You know, they're just barely getting along. And then you look at the lake. And I haven't been to Tower Hill because I just know I won't be too happy about that either. But so if you look at the lake, it looks like the front of the lake looks like a hayfield because all the water is just gone. And it's like we just had so much before in the spring to be so little. And they're still talking about, you know, where are we going to get this water? Where are we going to collect it? We're trying to, like, reroute it out of Allenstown and everything, just trying to make water flow to everybody. But we have to draw some lines, and I think, like, water is like, we have to have that. We all have to have that.
So Kathy, just like, he's high. All the water actually runs off his property towards mm-hmm. us. So his property, we walked it today, mm-hmm. the whole thing, everything that butts us. Mm-hmm. We actually get all the water off.
I haven't seen his land.
Yeah, it's super high.
Yeah.
So there won't be any blockage. Mm-hmm. It's actually all coming towards us.
Oh, okay.
So kind of, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but
well,
it's the water that comes off Chester Turnpike that just concerns me, which is very little, and it's only a matter of about 150 feet before Mr. Brady's property goes uphill and then the water comes back.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So we kind of get a lot of water debt off of his property. And his property is high and dry. There's no wetlands up there. It's all ledge.
Yeah. Well, the other issue, too, is that, as Ms. Pellegrino said, that you can't do something that affects another, the water, that causes water to run onto or keeps water from running onto your property. So that's, if something happens during the or after the construction, then that's an issue that you would have to bring. But apparently Mr. Landry and Mr. Brady have spoken, and Mr. Landry is quite knowledgeable about
the other
building.
Side.
Yeah. So hopefully hopefully that issue has been solved.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else that has any questions or comments? Mr. Archambault?
I'm Gary Archambault, Chester Turnpike. I just had a question. Is there a definition in the town of Candia for what is a single family home? Is it a 10,000 square foot garage with a 1,000 square foot apartment? Because that's how it's been described, as an apartment, not a house. It's been a 10,000 square foot garage with a 1,000 square foot apartment.
There is nothing in state law that says that we can dictate to someone how big their house is or how big their garage is.
I'm not asking that. No. I'm asking if there's a definition in Candy of a single family home.
No, there is no, I don't think that definition exists even in the state, because it's a single family home can be a 300 square foot tiny home.
I understand that, but this sounds like a 10,000 square foot garage with an apartment on the top. Are apartments legal in Candia?
I actually went to the municipal association and asked them that question, and they said a single family home is, it doesn't matter the size of the living space. You could have a 300 foot square living space with a parking garage attached to it, and it's still a single family home.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else have any other questions?
Susan Torrey, T-O-R-R-E-Y. There are several of us that own some land that abuts this property and sizable acreage. And it seems that all of us are quite content with the acreage not being developed. And so my question to the planning board is, we set precedents when we change the guidelines. I understand it's some time ago when the town was developed and set these standards, but we all like the rural atmosphere of the town. That's why we live here. That's why we bought the property that we bought, to preserve the land as land. And so I hope that the planning board takes into consideration that when you give variances, what good are the rules in place? When we bought the land, we knew what the rules were. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think you should mention that this is the zoning board, not the planning board. It's two very different groups.
Susan? My question is that you're considering changing the driveway width. And I'm saying the standard in the town is set for a certain amount. If you give the variance, basically you're setting precedence to say those guidelines really aren't held in effect for the future, because precedence will be set.
Right. We have
changing that standard.
We have a very specific set of criteria under which we could grant a variance or not, and we'll be considering those one by one.
Right.
To make sure that we're doing this in a very fair way.
My argument simply is the standard is there. By granting the variance, you are wiping away the standard because precedents will be set.
But that is the function of this board, is to be able to do just that.
When appropriate.
When appropriate.
Under these criteria, which is what we'll entertain.
Understand that.
Yeah.
The other thing, Susan, that I would tell you is that sometimes we're constrained by state law that we set regulations, but the state also sometimes ties the hands of the town. And
it takes precedent.
Yes.
State court case the, can
yes.
take precedent.
So,
as
okay.
Council
is,
would tell us.
Yes. Yes, please.
Carol Lesson Kimball again. In the conversation to address the issues of the water and the wetlands, and my understanding is they are going to be addressed, how does that work in the timeline for you to grant the permit or whatever? You know what I'm saying? Is there, does that have to meet approval before the permit is granted?
No. Our only job is to say they either have the right to build a driveway here or they don't have the right to build a driveway. Then we throw it to this gentleman here.
Okay.
And
so does
he
that
will
impede,
the building inspector will
does that impede the timeline.
No, they would get
ahead.
The permit to do the driveway.
Okay.
And then the driveway would have to meet conditions before they can start building.
Okay.
Now,
thank you.
Who would set those conditions?
The road agent.
The drive? Well,
the road agent.
The road agent only sets the conditions,
but he's
on the road.
The driveway, and then I approve after him.
Okay.
He approves the driveway permit or the construction.
A driveway permit.
He usually goes out and looks at the driveway and tells them if they need culverts or anything else.
Okay.
Good. So
yeah.
There's your wetland question.
Does the Wetlands Commission get involved?
Wait. Gary, please.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Gary Archibald, Chester Turnpike. Does Wetlands get involved with this driveway permit because there is an issue with water runoff?
The runoff, not so much. If there's wetlands, then the DES needs approval.
So there has to be state approval prior
for wetlands.
Prior to the driveway being built?
That I'd have to check. But I believe so.
I believe so, too.
Yes.
Denise Chaya, 219 Chester Turnpike.
Spell your last name.
Z-Z-A-J-A. I have two questions. My understanding was at the beginning of this meeting that it was brought up as an issue for a company name, I believe was something.
Ranch Roller Coaster.
Yes.
Yes.
So this is supposed to be private property, but it's being brought up by a company. Is there an issue with that?
No, they I could buy my house. I could set up a corporation or an LLC and buy my house, buy a piece of property and build a house that I'm going to live in. It doesn't have to be owned by me. There are many people who put their houses into trusts or things that they don't own the house. Their kids own the trust. The trust is in their kid's name and they live in it. So it's the ownership is not an issue for us.
Okay. And this may be a little bit off for tonight's subject, but I want to ask it anyway. You can let
please
me know
do.
If it's out of line. I'd like to know if Mr. Brady or the companies, any of his companies or businesses, is trying to pursue other properties on Chester Turnpike that would abut that 400 or whatever acres of property that he has in order to access that property from a different direction at some point.
If you're asking me if I'd buy other land out there, I would, but I'm not buying it for development. I would buy it to protect my own property out there.
Because
the
I don't know who owns them. I have drones over my property twice, which is illegal.
I've never done drones.
And the other, I'm not saying you did, but I'm just questioning what was going on because I've also had a realtor text messaging me asking me if I'm interested in selling my home within the next year.
It's probably the realtor's drone.
Pardon me?
And unfortunately, there's realtors do because I've had the same thing with it. I'm not on Chester Turnpike, so they're constantly.
Do. I'm just curious if it's related to Mr. Brady or any of his.
They're constantly texting and they look up how much land people have and they randomly text you.
Okay.
It's annoying.
The drone was not in a legal area approaching my house. It should not have been there. I looked up the laws, and it was not legalized. So that was a concern for me. That's why I remember
gotcha.
It. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Brady, thank you for answering that. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but I want people to feel comfortable. I'm, you know,
that's kind of you
stuff.
To respond to that. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay. Are there any other questions that anyone has?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And please.
Just out of curiosity, my name is Steve Child, Denise's husband. I live at 219 Chester Turnpike. I'm trying to get a vision of what this is going to look like. Our property is just north of Mr. Archambault's and Ms. Kimball's. If I'm not mistaken, there's a pond not too far from our property. East, northeast, was it Kennecum Pond?
Kennecum Pond.
Kennecum Pond. And I'm trying to figure out where that driveway's going and how close to that pond. Is it going to...
It's
not even close.
It's directly right beside. It runs parallel.
We parallel
actually,
with the pond.
No, parallel mm-hmm. with my driveway.
Yep.
And it actually, okay. where he's going to build his house is almost where my garage is, just up much higher. So it's almost the same length as my paved driveway that goes right out to my back garage. It's just directly to the left. It's right.
Okay, I'm just
yeah.
I'm
we won't
to,
even see.
I'm just trying
we won't
to
even
where
see
our
his
property
house.
Is because we're just north of Archambault.
So he's actually. We walked the whole thing. We spent probably an hour and a half walking it, and because I was very frank with him yesterday, right? We walked it. If you see far more of my garage than you'll ever see of his house, and there's his son, and that's the gentleman that's going to be living there. Because he came today too,
mm-hmm.
but you won't even see the house from
well,
the road from Chester Turnpike. You won't even be able to see
it. I know years ago, we've been there for 42 years, and it was nice to walk behind our property at the time because we had the old ski trails from the golf course, and you could walk those trails from our house to the seventh fairway of Candia
mm-hmm.
Woods.
The one thing I'll say too is. When we first moved into Chester Turnpike, we used to go four-wheeling up there.
Okay.
Okay? And we went all through the roads. And over the last 4 years, and we couldn't remember the name of the old owner, but he destroyed the property.
Mm-hmm.
Destroyed it.
Sergeant.
The logging destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut down all any tree of any value over 6 inches, delimbed all the tops, and left them in all the roads.
That's Abood.
Abood.
Yeah.
Destroyed it. And... he's actually, Mr. Brady, has been up there cleaning those roads up because he wants his grandkids to be able to have a safe place to ride
nice.
Without disturbing anybody.
So if I went to the back of my property, which is almost 5 acres, and my property would abut some of those trails, and I started walking the trails, would I eventually be on Mr. Brady's property?
I haven't walked.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know enough about
gentlemen,
that. Yeah.
Gentlemen, we're kind of getting off the topic. I understand your concerns, and I mean, I live on the other side so of the golf course, and I skied all those trails, yeah, when they had this. I know what you're talking about, but I don't, Mr. Brady, is there a possibility that people had questions that they could contact you or you could meet out there sometime and take people around it? Would you be willing to do that and show them what you're planning on doing?
Yeah, that's
what
we did today.
That might help them feel less anxious about the place.
It used to be you could take a 22 or a 12-gauge shotgun out there and practice. I ain't going to be able to do it anymore because I'm going to have private property all around me.
Yeah, well, that's unfortunately,
that's
I don't know.
Still going to
be
his property.
It was someone's
okay.
property.
Excuse me, we're getting off the topic. So can we? And
right,
I'm not diminishing your concerns because we all have views. There's 1,000 acres between my house and Chester Turnpike that we've all used and walked on, and now different people are buying it, and we find that we can't do these things, but we all had the opportunity to buy it, and we didn't. So it's unfortunately that's the way things are. So are there any other questions that anybody has or concerns? Okay, then I will close the hearing and we'll go to the public. We'll go to the meeting and we'll discuss the five conditions for the variance. All right, let me find my thing here. Okay. Do you want, I'd like to ask the board, do you want to consider the two, the first and second, they're not very contrary to the public interest and the spirit of the ordinance? Because they're kind of tied together. Do you want to consider them together or separately?
That's fine. Yeah.
Do you, Tony, do you have any objection considering the two of them together?
Not at all.
Nope. Do you have any objections? Okay. So, not contrary to the public interest, the spirit of the ordinance is observed. Does anybody have any comments or questions about it?
I do.
Yes.
So this is a request for a 9-foot variance to 51 feet from 60 for a private driveway. If built correctly with drainage, and we've been assured that it will be, it will enhance the value of the property and increase tax revenue. And based on the plans and the commitment that this is a single family residence, which then opens up the use of that property for the family, which retains the rural nature of our town, this all sounds to me to be in the public interest, and the spirit of the ordinance is observed. That is my thought. I think initially when we met on this, to be honest, nobody here had seen anything like this. And we're like, what is this, right? It looks like a commercial building, right? And but I think what I was thinking coming over here tonight is this is you're taking this property and you're saying, let's use it for the family. And you guys have the means to set it up very nicely with a lot of toys and to keep that rural nature. I hope you plant some nice trees back. Hearing that makes me sad that they logged that out. And that keeps Candia. So I think it's in the spirit.
Okay.
And I appreciate you helping us to understand that, because again, I think this is,
you know, when you look at the when you look at the intent of the ordinance way back when, a 50-foot right-of-way was basically what you had for backland.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty standard thing for a long time. Not that the town hasn't changed that standard for whatever the reason, but, you know, it obviously the intent of this property was to create this access point for this 100 acres, whatever it is. The intent wasn't to build a development, and I think we've kind of established the fact that it's not going to be a town road built through there. Therefore, it's a private drive and that's it. You know, I think it's pretty reasonable.
Okay. Anyone else? Gail? Tony? Do you have any comments?
This is all about 9 feet, right?
Yes.
Yes. Can we stay the course?
Well, you need the 9 feet is to construct a public road.
Public road.
This is to construct a private driveway.
But we keep referring to the home, which is really not.
Well, unfortunately, there's no way that we can define what a house looks like.
No, I understand. Yeah. That.
Right, it's
I
not relevant.
What we're talking
it's
about.
Not,
it's not
yeah.
part of what we're under consideration with here.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. No, I'm all set. Thank you.
Okay, so
you want me to make a
so we'll motion. Make a are we we'll vote on both one and two at the same time, Bill?
So I would make a motion to agree that this variance is not contrary to the public interest and that the spirit of the ordinance is observed.
Second.
Okay. All right. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. Bill?
I vote aye. Kina?
How aye.
Saad, aye.
Pellegrino, aye.
Simon's aye.
Okay, substantial justice. The granting of the variance cannot result in the diminution of surrounding properties. It cannot be, I'm sorry, just what justice. I'm doing diminution.
One.
Sorry,
substantial justice.
Substantial justice. So, the justice that's served to the applicant cannot do a disservice to the public.
Right.
And how is the public, how is there a disservice to the public by allowing this van to build
would not be serving the public because we wouldn't get the tax revenue. We wouldn't be protecting that property as rural. I don't see harm because it sounds like the property is going to be nice, the building will be nice and not really visible. So I don't see where anybody's going to be hurt by it. So my conclusion would be it would be unjust to not approve it.
Okay.
I don't see particularly a safety hazard either.
No.
I would think of it from that angle.
I would agree with that, provided we've dealt with the issues of the wetland and the mm-hmm. water and those things that they meet all.
But those are all out of our purview.
That's right. After us.
That's right. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about it. Okay, other?
If the neighbors have concerns, they can call DES and they can check on it right. too if they don't feel it's being addressed mm-hmm. properly.
Okay, we need to vote on that. I need a motion, Bill. Go right ahead, Bill.
I make a motion that we find that substantial justice is done by approving this variance as requested.
I second it.
Okay. Just a minute. Okay. Bill? How are you voting?
Aye. Keena?
How aye.
Saad aye.
Pellegrino aye.
Simon's aye.
Okay. The values of surrounding properties will not be diminished.
I'm not sure they're going to be improved, but I don't think they're going to be diminished.
Not based on the plan we were provided.
Yeah.
Today. No.
Based on the evidence that
we have in front of us,
and especially the statements given by Mr. Landry, where he stated that he's spoken to Mr. Brady and that they've come to some kind of agreement, and I think that if Mr. Landry has concerns, you need to speak to the building inspector, who will be your go between, considering that you can't have the diminution of the property of neighbors' properties, but you also if we don't allow him this driveway, we've taken away the value of his property. He has
right.
a back lot basically.
Right.
And I mean buyer beware, but I think that doesn't make any sense. I think we'd be on really shaky ground in the state if we turned around and said, well, you've got 50 feet of frontage, but you can't put a driveway in there. This is depriving him of his rights to use his property. So, yeah.
Right. And it's left it. I mean, today it's only the only value has been to log it out, which is, you know, horrible. I hate seeing where we've done that elsewhere, including my own lot. Right. Not a stick of hardwood. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or concerns?
I move that we approve number four, the value of surrounding properties are not diminished.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, Bill?
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Zod, aye.
Pellegrino, aye.
Stemmes, aye.
Okay, little enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would result in unnecessary hardship.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to use the property, and by using the property this way, we are preserving the rural nature of our town, which is exactly something. I mean, we seem to all agree that would be a good thing to do, right? Including the owner.
Okay, any other comments? I need a motion then.
Motion to approve, to find that little enforcement of the provisions of the ordinance would not, would result in unnecessary hardship, which paves the way to approve the variance.
Okay, a second?
Accept that. Second it.
Okay, any discussion? Bill?
Keena, aye.
How aye.
Zod, aye.
Pellegrino, aye.
Stemmes, aye.
Okay. So you have your variance. It'll take a couple of days for Megan to get everything together. As soon as she's done, I'll then sign the paperwork. And then you will have your variance to construct your single driveway for your single family home.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for supporting our town.
Okay, so the next thing, business, we have a couple.
Are we adjourned officially?
No, we got a couple things to do.
Okay, just want to put the public session is over now. Is our public session over now?
We're at our meeting. Yeah, that ended before.
Just wanted to know for the Zoom and recording.
Oh no, this is still part of our meeting.
Okay.
And I'm looking for. Oh, this is it. Okay. We have the minutes from.
Yeah, you need a motion to approve the minutes.
I read them over. Does anybody have any comment or corrections about the minutes? I didn't see anything that needed a correction. Okay. Could we, ladies and gentlemen, could we ask you to, because we still have more business to do, so could we ask you to shake hands outside?
How do you say it nicely?
Sorry. Sit down.
I got a permit. I'm trying to close, and I wanted to get his information before he left.
Well, go
I already
ahead.
Did.
Oh, okay.
That's why I ran. I saw him going out.
Oh, all right. All right.
You caused all this? You caused all this?
No.
Okay, we need to, does anybody have any questions about the minutes? I didn't find not a misspelled word, Megan. Good
she's
job.
Using AI.
Good job.
I make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Okay, the next thing we want to talk about is our meeting in December is like 2 days before Christmas. So you haven't heard anything about meetings or anything. You don't know if there's going to be anything, right?
No.
Don't know. Okay, so basically what we thought was that we would change the date of the meeting. The only date that we could do it would be the second Tuesday in December, as I don't think any of us want to be here 2 days before Christmas.
No, of course not.
I do.
You come to my Tony, place, buddy.
Tony, I'll make sure that Rich opens the door for you.
Humbug. You hear that? You're going to get visited. Be careful.
So,
sure enough, how am I going to be here?
So that's the 9th?
That would be the 9th, yes.
Yeah.
And then... while we're talking about that, we've thought about changing our meeting day because four times a year we hit February vacation, we hit April vacation, we hit Thanksgiving, we hit Christmas every year, those 4 months. February, April, November, December, and we thought about changing our regular meeting date to the second Tuesday of the month instead of the fourth Tuesday. That would be the only time that we could do it. And we, the thing is, what we don't want to do for Megan is we don't want to make it so that she has two meetings, us on Tuesday and the planning board on Wednesday. And the planning board meets the first and third Wednesday. So if we did the second Tuesday, we looked at the calendar. We were thinking of the first one, but depending on how it came, it might be it might end up being the planning board just after it. So I entertain any thoughts about changing the date.
It's fine by me.
Yeah, doesn't make any difference.
And the thing is, if we do, if we're going to do December, then it would follow just that January is our next meeting would be the second Tuesday in January. All I have to do is have Megan call me and make sure I remember.
Do we have to vote on this?
Yes, because we're changing it. I would think yes.
That works for me.
Is it all right with you?
Sure.
We do the second, 6:30 on the second Tuesday. So, and that
so are
works.
We talking November as well?
No.
Do we have any cases in November?
Not yet. I think we're just at the deadline. What's the date today? Oh, yeah, we're at the deadline. So, no, we don't have
Yay.
Anything in November.
So, we have nothing in November. Okay. So, then,
that makes sense
that now we're into December, and the chances are that we might not have anything in December anyway, because usually November, December, January are slow months with the holidays and things. So if that's acceptable, I'll entertain a motion to change our meeting date.
Make a motion to change the meeting date to the second Tuesday?
Yes.
Of each month.
I'll second that.
And, do we have a second? We need to finish.
Yeah, I'll second.
Ron seconded.
All right, Ron seconded it. Any discussion? Okay, Tony?
Aye. Works.
Gail?
Aye.
Zod, aye.
Ow, aye.
Kina, aye.
Okay. And now I forgot what the other thing I was going to say.
You'll figure
what's going on.
I know. There was something else I wanted to say. It was about the meetings. And that. Do you remember what it was, Megan? No.
I anticipated you were going to say that you didn't have to vote on the December meeting now. Consider that for moving forward. It's the second.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so moving forward, it'll be the second.
Will you send a new invite out, or do we?
Oh, I know what I was going to say. We need to probably put something on the town website that says that that the zoning board has changed its meeting date and will now be the second Tuesday of the month. And since we don't have anything in November, that's perfect. We can do the one in December, the second Tuesday of the month.
I'll post it on the web and post office. Town
yeah.
Hall, make sure
that okay. Know. Yeah, because that's important that we let people know because for so many years we've met on the fourth Tuesday.
Speaking of that, does Rich have his name on the complaint form? The last time I saw it, it was Will.
Was Will or was it?
No, not Donovan. That was changed to Will. And that didn't last very long. So I was just wondering if Rich has...
Will got a really good job offer that he... Will would have stayed. He got a really good job offer in doing what he wanted to do in Maine. He's a ranger in Maine, and it was what he wanted to do. And
he went up by himself?
No. His whole family's up there.
I thought he was like the Lone Ranger.
No.
You were thinking that was a great job.
Oh, Tony, you are just full of fun tonight.
Oh, yes.
He says it straight, too, so you got to look twice.
If we have no other business to conduct, I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
A motion, we adjourn this meeting.
I second it.
That's the best motion all night. Good job there.
Any discussion? All right. Bill?
Aye.
Rye.
Aye.
Zod, aye. Gale.
Aye.
Steinmetz, aye.
All right.
Unanimous.
Aye.